So in the evenings, what we'll do is more meditation, but a more specific kind of meditation. So I'm going to introduce you tonight to metta practices, and we'll spend some time practicing with those and then having, you know, a chance to have some questions and answers about that. So just to give you a little bit of a history about what that is that mindfulness is sort of such a common word and such a kind of buzzword, and that's really all about this meditative training, and we spent a lot of time practicing with that this morning. And we also talked a little bit about the psychology of Buddhism this afternoon, which is a little bit of a cognitive aspect. The heart practices are quite different. So when we talked about the fundamentals of meditation, you know, I talk about attention and the attitude, right? So we have this object of the breath, and we try to pay attention to that, or we try to pay attention to the body or to sound, and we try to stabilize our attention. But then there's the attitude that we have about that. And so heart practices are about cultivating, we could say they're about cultivating positive emotions, cultivating wholesome emotions. In classic Buddhism, they're called the Brahma-viharas, which is not a great term. It means something like to be with the divine or to be with God. In the earliest Buddhist tradition, Brahma was sort of the God figure of that time. So that carries a lot of, wide range of baggage sometimes with some of these words. The Brahma-viharas can sometimes carry on like a religious tone, which is helpful in some capacities and problematic in other capacities. So the way that I sort of hold them now, and my first teacher taught me this way, was that they're kind of beautiful spiritual emotions. So there's a nonverbal component to them. There's a sense of how we hold and how we meet ourselves. And I found them to be very antidotal. When I come up against the ways in which my mind is not so kind to me through self-judgment, through to-doing, through blaming, through all the ways in which we sort of give ourselves an unnecessary hard time in the privacy of our own minds, right, which we do. It's a way in which we can kind of learn how to draw them out. So it's not so much that we're trying to manufacture or we're trying to make kindness or trying to make compassion. It's that we're trying to see that they're possibilities, they're already there, they're part of our software. As human beings, it's something that we have access to, but we find that throughout our lives, they get covered up, or we don't want to show them. Maybe we've been hurt in certain ways, and we feel like it's not safe to be kind or to be compassionate, or maybe we've been compassionate in the past and we've been taken advantage of. And there's a lot of ways in which we kind of, one of the things that happens psychologically is we build these defense mechanisms against these qualities. And so that's that we want to kind of try to sort that one out. So when we start to practice with, tonight we're gonna go through the four of them, this four of them. So. And metta practices, you call them metta practices, you call them heart practices, to me is the most kind of disarming colloquial way to say that. So, because we are of our culture, things like art and poetry and music, that we talk about the heart, right? And when I say, oh my God, my heart is broken, or somebody dies, or we end a relationship, we all can probably, no matter where you're from, identify with the experience of heartbreak. That's not a difficult idea to get behind or to understand. So knowing that this has kind of maybe been part of our experience, we want to develop qualities of the heart that are responsive, that are appropriate, that end harm, that end suffering, and that learn how to meet aspects of our experience in a different kind of way. So there's also one thing that I've noticed recently is I like to talk about it in the sense that there's actually a nonverbal component to these practices. And because there's a nonverbal component, it's hard to explain what nonverbal components are because they're nonverbal. But there's a sensibility that we have in the ways that we treat ourselves. So we might find that we do these little acts of kindness to ourselves probably throughout the day. And throughout our lives, we don't recognize that that's what they are. We probably do these little acts of compassion for ourselves, these self-care, but we don't recognize that that's what we're doing. We don't know where they come from. So part of this practice is to identify them, recognize the possibility of them, feel into them, and then try to figure out what can we do meditatively to kind of bring them into our experience a little bit more, have more access to them. And it doesn't always work. Just because I could sit here and say we're going to practice, do some kindness practice, doesn't necessarily mean that that's actually what's going to happen. So we have to be careful that we don't think that we need to be experiencing something to be practicing something. And this is very important in meditation, especially with mindfulness. We think that mindfulness means we're supposed to be not thinking and have inner peace and kind of calmness of mind. And that's not necessarily the case. Mindfulness might mean that we're just aware of discomfort in the body and we're aware of judgment. And we might be aware of a whole bunch of things that are maybe hard to be with. Doesn't mean we're not doing it right. It just means that's what's happening. Right? So we have these practices. We have metta, which is sort of the main practice, which is translated usually as loving kindness, or I translate it as kind friendliness. You can hold it however you like. To just be a little bit honest, I don't particularly like the term loving kindness, because I think that love and loving for many people is kind of can be a pretty loaded concept. And I think that the nature of metta, it comes from this Pali word metta, which actually means friend. It literally means friend. And so there's a way in which we could say, unconditional love, I think, is kind of a loaded and at times unrealistic concept. Is it realistic to think that we could love everybody? I'm not so sure about that. Is it appropriate to think that we could be kind to everybody? I feel like that's more pragmatic. I can be kind to people I don't particularly like so much. Right? And, you know, that's part of my practice, is I try to be kind to people that I put in the difficult category. Right? And it's better for them, and it's better for me, and it's better for everybody. So I think what we're looking for is this idea of kindness, which is not such a loaded word, kindness and friendliness. And we want to learn how to meet that in any experience. So we could say, in Buddhist psychology, would say that kindness is something that is always appropriate. There's no reason to not be kind. Even if the person is difficult, even if we've done things that we don't feel good about, there's a way in which we can kind of have this, sometimes they call benevolence, which is kind of a way of just kind of accessing our own basic goodness. And that most of us probably would quickly diagnose as like, yeah, I want to be more kind. I want to be kind to myself. So that's where we start. So that kind of is the aim towards all experience. We're going to kind of work with that tonight. And then what happens is we look at the feelings, right? We look at pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So as our experience or our life becomes more difficult and more challenging, pain and loss and grief, we want that metta to kind of take on another type of quality. So the metta is always there, but what it does is it calls to mind what's called karuna or compassion. So if there's difficulty in our lives and things aren't going well, we want to be kind and caring and compassionate and forgiving, perhaps, towards really, really hard experiences. And so then the metta kind of, it transforms into a different kind of experience. Now, we don't need to be compassionate all the time. It's not appropriate. If somebody came up to you and had some great fortune in their life, you wouldn't have compassion for them. You would just sort of be like kind and friendly towards them. So compassion has a specific aim and quality, and it's usually aimed towards difficulty and loss and hardship and those kind of experiences. And then so that's kind of towards the unpleasant aspect of life. We want to have more compassion. So kindness takes on compassion in that way. When things are agreeable or pleasant or gain or success, we actually want that metta to take on what's called mudita or appreciative joy, which really I mostly just call gratitude, which is being able to enjoy that which is enjoyable. People don't know what to do with joy mostly. And what we're supposed to do with joy is enjoy it. But people actually oftentimes have a destructive relationship to joy because they're either scared that they don't deserve it, or they're afraid it's going to go away, or they've been maybe burned before by people or situations where there was joy and then that was gone. And they just think that joy is a little bit dangerous and scary. So we'd rather actually not experience joy. And this is sort of that numb out culture that we live in. People sometimes get in this place where they just want to numb out. They actually don't want to feel anything. Right? And so when we look at the metta, can kind of take on compassion and forgiveness when things become difficult. It can take on gratitude and joy when things become favorable. And then, like, if you look at it this way, at the end we want to have equanimity, which is to kind of, if you would say there was a goal of Buddhist meditation, I would say the goal is to have equanimity. And equanimity is the full balance of the heart and mind, where we recognize that life is both and. Life is very difficult and life is very beautiful. And you're going to continue to get both of those experiences. And, you know, that's kind of a radical acceptance for life as it is. And so as we become more, as we have more fluency in these kind of practices, we're able to experience equanimity, which is a balance of heart and mind, which I think is sort of, for me, feels like why I do all of this, and that I find myself in more experiences of equanimity now than I have before, where difficult things happen, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, like, this is really painful and really difficult, but I'm okay, I can do this, like, we've been down this road before, and that kind of thing. Does that make sense? And that's kind of the overview of these metta practices, and we'll sort of tie them into the rest of the stuff we're talking about. So how they work, or how they can work, is so we start with kindness. So we start with that as kind of a baseline entry point. And so sometimes I teach a meditation system called Metta Vipassana, which is kind of what you guys are learning, but probably don't know that yet. And that is to just bring kindness and friendliness sort of into the body, into the present moment. And it's rooted in this basic idea of sort of ease. May I be at ease. And that means, may I be kind of at ease. May I be safe. May I be protected. May I be okay with this moment just as it is, even though this moment might be difficult and challenging. And it's a way where we're trying to have maybe some acceptance and some tolerance and some patience and not reacting. Recognizing that this moment or this experience might be difficult for us, but kind of saying it's kind of talking yourself off the ledge is the way I experience it. So when we use phrases and we use images is kind of how the system works. So if you haven't done this practice before, it can seem a little bit odd because we kind of offer ourselves these phrases, and I might ask you to imagine some things. And so when we look at the training of that, really what I use is the system of the Eightfold Path, which we talked a little bit. So we start with perception, right? What is my perception and my attitude about kindness? So we just kind of consider that. Do we value kindness? Is something that we would like to have more of? Do we recognize that maybe we aren't kind to ourselves in some situations and that we would like to be more kind to ourselves? So it just starts with, like, consideration. Right? It's like, yeah, okay, I can see how that would be beneficial. And so we just kind of, that kind of sets this perception in motion of, like, okay, my perception, my feeling is this is good, seems like a good idea to be kind to myself. And then the mind kind of agrees and kind of gets on board with that idea. So just as you sit there kind of rolling that one around. And then we move from right view, or right perception, we could say, of just kind of seeing if that makes sense to us, into the intention, which is moving kind of from the perception to the inclination that we talked about today. I'm inclining my mind. What to do? Be kind. Do what? Be friendly. Do what? Be kind. Be benevolent. So it becomes an idea, and then it becomes backed up by a motivation to do that, to kind of get that experience to arise, or try to get the prompting of that to come online. Now, it may or may not happen, but we do it anyway. Just like we go back to the breath and we go back to the body. A lot of these practices is a little bit of, like, do it anyway.
So instead of, you know, we've been doing a lot of observing of ourselves, in this way we're sort of pushing an agenda towards ourselves.
That's right. That's right, yeah. So mindfulness is an observing quality, which is what we'll be doing. This is an inclining the mind towards. So we're actually using the to-do aspect of the mind to incline the mind in a particular direction. which is a little bit more of an actionable item. Somebody who has a to-do mind already might, you know, or might not, depending on how it goes. But there, yeah, there's a way in which we're taking on, we're not as much as in an observing role, but we're more in a cultivation role where we're trying to get something going here, trying to call it to mind, as my teacher would say. Call it to mind, we call it to mind. And one thing I've noticed over the years is when you, the more you call it to mind, it is in there, it will come up, you know, the more space and the more kind of willingness we have to it, it does actually arise. When and how, can't give you any data there, but trusting that it's a good move. And so we go from this idea, the view, the perception of kindness, the intention to be kind, and then we go into speech, right speech. So we say sort of these phrases to ourselves, and not really a chant and not really an affirmation, but in a way, in a very pragmatic way, to recognize very clearly that what you think about has an impact on you, doesn't it? So if I'm thinking self-judgmental thoughts, that's going to have an emotional impact on me. Right? We know that. So maybe, just maybe, if I thought and inclined my mind in a kind and friendly way, perhaps then that would be the affect of the experience. So it's kind of using that theory that thoughts and emotions do have a relational quality. There's a relational field to these experiences. And so in these fields of awareness, one scientist that I really like, Mario Martinez, who does a lot of contemplative neuroscience work, calls them healing fields. So we kind of just train in a way to see if we can get our awareness into the kindness field. And if we do, we want to hang there. And we want to kind of be able to call that to mind. So we have to train, we have to work on that in a kind of systematic meditative process, which is kind of what we're going to do here. So I don't think if there's anything else I want to say about that, because I feel like to some degree talking about it is like looking at the menu without eating the food. But I will say this, is that if I give you a kind of insight into my own personal history, I struggled with these practices for many, many, many years. I actually, on meditation retreats, when they would do the heart practice, metta practice session, I actually wouldn't even come. I would go have tea or go for a walk, because what happened to me was I maybe didn't get the message, or I didn't learn, or I had a lot of resistance, because when I sat in my own mind, in my own heart mind, it was very violent. I've never been a violent person, but just the ways that I thought about myself and the ways that I thought about the world, I thought that I was supposed to sit down and just radiate and just be kind and friendly. And what happens oftentimes when you cultivate these practices, at the onset of the practice, sometimes you see the opposite. So we might see, as I say, may I be at ease, may I be at peace. Sometimes the mind will say, well, you're not at ease and you're not at peace, and here's a bunch of reasons why. So we find that sometimes there's in a duality sense that sometimes we ask or we incline in a certain way, and we sometimes see the opposite. And so we would say that that's polarized, and we oftentimes are polarized in our lives. And so that's just kind of part of the labor. That's part of the work that we have to do. And if you may see that, you may not see that. I saw that for a long time. And just in a qualitative way, emotionally speaking, it's been these loving kindness practices, these metta practices, heart practices, that actually, truth be told, have had a much more positive influence on the quality of the life that I currently live, more so than mindfulness. Now, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mindfulness is what allowed me to be able to do it in the first place. So there's a way in which we have a fair and balanced system, is we do need to be aware. We do need to be able to kind of have this objectivity. We need to be able to see what arises in our experience. And we also need to be able to hold it and to meet it in a way that feels manageable and that feels, for lack of a better word, ethical, or just a kind of Hippocratic oath of do no harm. Right? Do no harm with what arises in the mind-body. And so that this... So the goal, of course, the object of this meditation can become the experience of metta itself. Now, whether or not you feel it is really not so important. What's important always in meditation practices is the cultivation of that practice. So just because I cultivate awareness, like we did this morning, sometimes you don't feel like that's what was happening, right? Like, I was distracted the whole time. Well, you still were cultivating awareness. So it's like you still get credit, right? It's like that. I use the analogy of fitness because, you know, we wouldn't get on a treadmill and run for 30 minutes and get off and go, well, I didn't do that right. You know, you just did it. You still get the credit for the work. But for some reason, meditatively, we find that we don't do that so much. We have a hard time giving ourselves credit for the work. So I think it's a way we have to be careful that one of the analogies I use is that we're cultivating awareness, we're cultivating kindness, we're cultivating a friendliness, and we're cultivating compassion. We're not evaluating on how well that's going. Because the mind in our Western culture isn't really interested in cultivation, it's interested in evaluation. How's it going? Are you doing it? You're not doing it right. It's not going well, that kind of assessment. You know, and also the way that we assess, and also the way that our minds work in this Western culture, is we don't really cultivate, we consume. You know, the mind feeds on everything. And a lot of times this is a way of, it's the opposite of consuming, it's a cultivation, it's more of an offering. So you can, we're going to probably do it, it will probably take about 30 minutes to do the practice. So if you want to change your posture or find a comfortable way to sit, you can do that. We'll take a few minutes with that. The lights in here seem okay. And so, of course, as with a lot of the stuff this week, the first one is maybe the one with the learning curve might be this, so it might be very steep. So every night we're going to do a different flavor of these practices, and we'll have a chance to kind of see how that goes towards the end. So does that sound all right for everybody?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there any way to turn these down?
I think so. I hope so. That's been my plan all along.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did I get it right? Is that good?
Yes.
I'm very much interested in proper lighting. There we go. That's even better.
You're dimmer than you used to.
I'm getting a little better at running the. I'm qualified to operate the lights here at 1440. Okay. So just allowing yourself to find a posture that feels suitable. Just starting with some simple mindfulness, awareness. Feeling the body breathing. Letting your mind experience sound arising and passing. And allowing your body to feel whatever energy is there. If you feel tired, long day, let that kind of arise and hold that with some care and some acceptance. And so I offer a very specific way of cultivation of metta, kind friendliness, and you can just follow me as I work with you here in this space. And so just beginning by bringing your awareness to the heart center. And this is usually the location in the body where you feel the rising and fall of the in and out breath. Moving all the way up so that your muscles in the throat are at ease, no tension in the neck. So you're allowing your breathing to move through that breathing corridor down into the heart center. And perhaps even down into the belly, so the belly is expanding, breathing out, breathing in. And so mostly allowing the awareness to dwell from the chin all the way down to the belly button and just softening all of the muscles in the body outwardly. And as you breathe in and out, softening this area, and just beginning to connect as best you can with your own wish, your own deepest desire to be free. To be free from your worries and anxieties. To be free from the pressures and stress of this world. Just letting yourself feel into that wholesome, good desire. Just be okay in this world with all of the pressures and stresses that we face. And just as best you can, allowing your awareness to soak that desire up, really allowing yourself to feel into that truth, desire to be free, to be okay, to be safe, to be good. Allowing that perception to be held in the mind and the heart as best you can. And as you connect with the body, breathing through that region, just experiencing the breath as this lifelong friend and companion that's been with you your whole life. Through every moment, every difficult time, every joy, every sorrow, your breath has been there supporting this life for you. So allowing that to be felt in the body and the heart. So there's a history there, a long history of support and goodness. Just let that breathe through the system as best you can. Just as we begin to incline this way, just internally you can let that word drop into the mind and body and just saying to yourself quietly in your own experience, kindness, friendliness. Kindness, breathing that word in and out. Kindness. Just kindness, feeling that into the body, letting that soak in. And holding this idea as an object of the meditation, this idea, this attitude of kindness, and beginning to incline our intention in this way by just offering these phrases to ourselves as we sit here practicing, cultivating this kindness, well-wishing, just offering this phrase internally to yourself as you breathe in and out of the heart. May I be at ease. May I be at ease. May I be at ease. Allowing that to repeat. May I be at peace. May I be at peace. May I be at peace. Just allowing that phrase to repeat over and over, inclining the mind towards that intention. May I be content in this moment, just as it is. May I be content in this moment, just as this moment is right now. May I be content in this moment just as it is. I'm letting that phrase be repeated over and over. So that just becomes the object of practice, is this well-wishing towards yourself. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be content in this moment. Just as it is. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be content in this moment, just as it is. May I be at ease, saying that phrase internally and just watching what arises out of that, holding that phrase. May I be at peace. May I be content in this moment, however this moment is right now. And as best you can, extending this quality of metta, of kindness and ease and friendliness towards the body. May I be at ease with my body just as it is, with any discomfort or pain. If the body is tired, may I be at ease with this body right now. May I be at ease with the size and shape and age. May I be kind in my body, with my body. May I be at ease with this body, just as this body is. Extending kindness and friendliness through the physical experience of sitting and breathing. May I be at ease with this body. Extending this metta kindness to the mind. May I be at ease with my mind, my thoughts, my activities. May I be kind with this mind. May I learn to cooperate and be kind with my mind just as it is. Extending a friendly and kind attitude into the mind, to thought. Receiving and extending kindness into this mind. May I be at ease with my mind just as it is. And extending this kindness and friendliness into the heart, into the emotion. May I be at ease in my heart. May I be at ease with my heart, my emotion, just as it is here now. May I learn to be kind and friendly in my heart, to my heart, from my heart, with whatever it is that is happening. Breathing that in, breathing that out, cultivating that intention, allowing these phrases to repeat and to train in this way. May I be at ease. May I be at peace. May I be content in this moment just as it is. And allowing those phrases to repeat in your own way, in your own rhythm for the last few minutes of the practice, staying with it. Just cultivating this quality of kindness towards yourself in your practice here this evening. And inviting yourself to take one more deep breath, take a deep, deep in-breath, and allowing your eyes to open slowly as you breathe out, coming back into seeing and back into the room here together.